Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Yeah, you know, I don't get into what ifs. You know, he's obviously a very, very capable athlete. He's got great strength, great athleticism. So I think he's capable of playing anywhere, really, across the line.
This is the first 2 days I've been able to get out there and do that. You know, we had a need today in practice. We got a couple guys out, so coach asked me, and I went out there. I was a little like a fish out of water, but it's to be expected.
There's Foxy, John Fox, Bears head coach, and Kyle Long, who was playing at right tackle yesterday with Jordan Mills on the shelf, dealing with a malady of some sort. Welcome back to Cap and Haw at Comcast, SportsNet, and WGN Plus. Hey, coming up today on CSN Chicago, re-air of Game 4 today, 3 o'clock on this channel. Sports Talk Live I'll have for you today, 5:30. Reds and Cubs tonight at 7. Sox at Tampa Bay tomorrow at 6.
Yes, so that's a jam-packed lineup ahead. So yesterday, the Bears' final OTA open to the media, the mini camp next week. That's the mandatory one. It'll be interesting to see if Martellus Bennett shows up. Where's John Bostic? That's the one that I think is very curious. Because
well, they certainly didn't say he's hurt.
No, there's been no indication of that. John Fox was asked about John Bostic and said that he hasn't been in practice. I have no impression of him. That's not a good thing.
But he can't be asking for more money because he's played lousy the
first
2 years.
No way. I don't know. It's a mystery. It's one of these things I don't know about. I want to know why. I'm curious. John Bostic should be trying to impress his new defensive coordinator. He's athletic. He's got some upside. He's made some mistakes. He's been on bad defenses. But if there was a guy in that linebacking core that I would have thought would benefit from a change in scheme, a change in direction, anything, I think that Bostic would be the guy who would have the most transferable athletic combination. You know, he's not restricted to one type of scheme. So I'm very surprised and a little bit curious. What is keeping him from being around, and how much damage has he done to his profile? Can you overcome making a bad first impression on a new coach?
I'd have to know why he's making a bad first impression.
Well, it didn't sound like he was making a good first impression.
I agree, but what was the reason?
I don't know. That's my curiosity. So it's peaked. As for Kyle Long, it's June in Chicago where the Bears haven't been around as often as they are usually around. We get a look at them. We see something we don't recognize, and we want to magnify it and make it also all of a sudden – Kyle Long starting at right tackle against the Packers on opening day. I don't know that that's going to be the case.
Correct. I think it was just a chance to experiment a little.
Yeah. Versatility is a good thing to have. It didn't sound like it was anything more than that. If it you know, takes off from here and that's one part of their plan, evaluate it then. I don't think they have very much at guard in place of Kyle Long. I think that you would tend to, as we discussed yesterday, you know, you don't weaken – you create a weakness that doesn't currently exist.
312-235-2525. So you were out of town. We did the 100 best players in the NFL, but the power rankings from USA Today, you were not here when I was discussing these a little bit. The Bears are 32nd.
I find that hard to believe.
Remember that movie Unstoppable? John Fox may need to recruit Denzel Washington to parachute in and avert this train wreck. That's USA Today. Not exactly a, you know, fly-by-night publication.
Not a lot of respect the Bears are getting nationally. I think that they're limited. I don't think that they're more limited than any other team in the league. I want to know, are they worse than the Jacksonville Jaguars? Are they worse than the Oakland Raiders? Are they worse than – yeah, I think I could think of five or six teams just on paper that I would look at and say, really? The Bears are worse than these guys? Look at – I just – sometimes those things are put together, and I did not see that. You're right. And I want to be fair here. I don't know who put it together except for USA Today. But sometimes those things are put together, those lists, in sort of notice me is sort of screaming.
Right, like that guy last year saying the Cubs are going to win the World Series.
Yeah,
in sporting
like, please notice me so people will talk about this.
In Mikey's pre-show notes, Bears with another bad ranking. Pro Football Focus writer Sam Monson ranked the entire rosters of all 32 NFL teams. Bears number 25 in the rankings. And Monson picked receiver Alshon Jeffrey, tight end Martellus Bennett, outside linebacker Pernell McPhee, guard Kyle Long, and defensive end Jeremiah Ratliff as the top five players on the Bears roster.
That to me has a little more credibility because I think those guys study tape and they are comparing apples to apples, and they're not really worried too much about web clicks and getting people to discuss what their, you know, reporting or their observations are. You know, still, if you have the 20, basically they're saying they have the seventh worst roster.
Correct.
In the NFL.
And Matt Forte is not in your top five players?
That's surprising. That's surprising to me.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's definitely a guy that should be in your. He is your top, one of your top five players. If you had to list your top five Bears right now, he's in the top three.
Yeah.
He's.
Who's your number one? Kyle Long.
Only because of what he's accomplished. He's a Pro Bowl back-to-back player. Maybe, like, if there's one guy you would. You know, wouldn't want to live without Forte, Kyle Long, Fuller, possibly. He's a guy that I wouldn't want to lose. I'd want to stay, keep healthy. There's not a lot of choices there.
Jay's our quarterback.
Kevin White. Hey, by the way, speaking of Jay, did you miss the do you get Elle Magazine?
I don't, but there was a spread with
you haven't caught up on that in
Kristen.
Free time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see what she said about Chicago?
No.
So it's on the Tribune website this morning too, because it created a little bit of a stir. So the Cutlers were interviewed. Well, Kristen was interviewed for this, and she says, quote, talking about where they will live after
football.
And they're going to be Nashville. I could see a lot of upside in Nashville. I love Nashville. Quote, Jay hates L.A., and Chicago's just not home. So, talks about how she grew up in Barrington, but Chicago's just not home. And that will be interpreted by some people as saying, well, you know, can you leave tomorrow?
Yeah, pack your bags. I'll help you.
I think that's a little,
but a lot of guys stay amazing. Here.
I don't think Jay Cutler's staying here.
No, but a lot of guys stay here. Pro athletes. Now, Eddie's from here, so that's one. Brian Campbell married a Chicago girl. He's a Canadian. He made his home here. Todd Hollinsworth married a girl from Champaign. He's from the Pacific Northwest.
All great
Northwest.
Examples you could come
but,
up with, Cap.
But those guys all need work here. Holly, Steve Conroyd. Guys like that all want to work in the media, or they found a way to make a living in Chicago. Jay Cutler won't need to earn a living.
Even if he did, let's say for the sake of argument, even if he did, what in the world would motivate Jay Cutler to want to live here after he's done playing, given the treatment he's received while he's played here?
You never know. You never know.
You never know. Whatever. I mean, you never.
What do you mean you never know? I know. What? You think he's been embraced?
I mean, a lot of former Bears make their home here.
How many former Bears who have made their home here have been as polarizing throughout the course of their Bears career as he has been?
Nobody.
Okay. My point. Who can you point to that had a run as, I guess, as rocky as Jay Cutler's has been, would say, oh, you know what? This has been so much fun. I love the Chicago media. I want to be part of it, embrace it, and I'm going to live here forever and ever. Happy ending. No.
It's no like shot.
Nashville, here I come.
Yeah, he's out of here.
Well, and I don't hold that against him.
Me either.
I think that she will receive, even just the way it's presented, and she will receive criticism for being honest about where they want to live post-Bears career. And as a detached observer from this, and not a guy who has been necessarily pro-Cutler, would you say that I've been pro-Cutler?
No.
Okay. I totally understand the family's desire
to leave,
to hightail it out of Dodge after he's played his last down as a Bear. I don't have any problem with that.
Think if the phone,
I mean, really,
if his phone rang today, hello, Jay, Ryan Pace, what's up? I just traded you. Do you think Jay would be?
Where? I mean, where?
Houston.
Oh yeah, thank you, Ryan. Thanks, buddy. No, hold on. Do it again. Tell me.
Are you Jay?
Me. Yeah, I'm Jay. Yeah.
Jay, Ryan Pace.
Hold on, man. Yeah, what's up?
Didn't want you to hear this on Twitter. We know how things are. I just made a deal. I traded you to the Houston Texans.
Thanks a lot, Ron. See you later. I mean, he would just be gone, and he would not even –
okay.
He would have not built any relationship to matter.
Okay, and when he hangs up the phone and he turns to Kristen, Jackson, and his other child.
Yeah.
We're moving. I just got traded.
She would call the cameras in from wherever they stay in their abode. I mean, because there's cameras everywhere. There's always cameras around Kristen Cavallari Cutler.
Would he be devastated, upset, or he'd be like,
I don't know. I think we're being a little facetious here. But I think that in Jay Cutler's, I don't even want to pretend to know like what his innermost thoughts would be. My guess would be he would be relieved. I don't think this has gone as well
as he expected,
certainly. And I don't know that he has it in his mind, given the reception he's gotten from John Fox and Ryan Pace, which is, I think has been lukewarm, frosty maybe. Would you say that?
Jake. I'm looking forward to getting to know Jake.
I don't think that they have necessarily gone out of their way to make him feel overly comfortable.
Right. They're inheriting a bad situation.
So I think that he would feel almost relieved at a fresh start somewhere else.
Maybe.
So if he were told and informed that he was traded, it's not going to happen, then he might be, you know, I think very excited. So I don't begrudge her from saying that Chicago's just not home. It hasn't felt like home, and both sides.
Well, I wonder if he feels almost like a prisoner, because anywhere he goes in public, he doesn't want to deal with the public. He doesn't really enjoy that aspect. I'm not begrudging him. That's who he is. And it hasn't gone the way he'd hoped on the field.
You wonder if he's Chicago's loneliest millionaire.
Right.
Well, I wonder that.
I mean, you got a guy like Joe Maddon who says, I can't wait to move downtown and experience all this city has to offer and loves life and is out there having a great old time. Whereas Jay, gorgeous house, gorgeous wife, beautiful family, 100+ million in the bank. And
different stages of their lives. You know, Joe Maddon and Jay Cutler.
Okay. Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves.
Okay.
They're out of Chicago. Cut, loving life.
What do they have that Jay Cutler doesn't?
Success.
Championships. They are going to be revered in this town for decades to come.
The rest
Jay
of
Jay Cutler
life.
Is going to walk by in 10 years from now, and somebody in Chicago is going to see him walking by, and they're going to be like this.
Yeah. It's Jay Cutler.
That's Cutler. You see that? Let's flip him off and see if he flips us off back. You know?
Right.
They would never do that to Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. They would be like, do you have a pen? Do you have a Sharpie? Do you have your iPhone? Take a picture of me. Can I get a selfie with Kaner? Kaner, would you take a selfie with me? Oh, yeah, sure, okay. You know, how about you, Taves? Oh, yeah, sure, okay. Jay, take a selfie with me?
Don't care.
Get out of here. I mean, really, the stuff you hear about examples and encounters like that don't typically go well. They don't reflect well on Jay Cutler.
Correct.
So I don't think
I don't think he cares.
I don't think it's comparable.
All right, we'll take time out. We'll come right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Reno is in Naperville. Not Naperville and Reno. Reno and Naperville.
Hey, Reno.
Hey, Reno. What's up, buddy?
Came here at 49, watched the Cubs in 1950 with the kids on the street. They said, no, you're a Cub fan. You're not a Sox fan. That was like giving me sports cancer.
One of our funniest calls in a long time, our guy Reno from Naperville. talking about becoming a Cub fan. Welcome back. Kevin Hall, Comcast SportsNet, WGN Plus. Again, scoring note that Rick Hahn, general manager of the White Sox, joins us tomorrow at 9:25. Plus,
and Ian Happ draft picks.
And
Carson Fulmer.
Carson Fulmer of Vanderbilt.
Yes.
The White Sox number one pick and the Cubs number one pick, Ian Happ, both will join us.
Speaking of Vanderbilt right-handers, Carson Fulmer will join us tomorrow.
Look forward to it.
Yeah.
312-235-2525.
So the White Sox, they
sweep away the
Astros.
The
Cubs have a big victory over the Tigers, and they scored 12 runs, and Chris Bryant doesn't even get a hit. How about that? And the White Sox, they give some people some well-needed, well-deserved time off to shake up the lineup a little bit, and they win in a sweep, I think.
4-1 final.
Yeah, 4-1. And it was Gordon Beckham started it short, and Alexei got the day off. It was a good victory for the Sox. Now, Adam LaRoche is getting hotter. That's good to see. Robin Ventura will miss the weekend series in Tampa, and he's going to attend the graduation for
his daughter, Cal Poly San Luis
Madison,
Obispo.
Yeah, which is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well, we don't know if it's Saturday because there's a liberal arts graduation Sunday morning at 9. There is another graduation, three different ceremonies on Saturday.
How do you know this?
I did some homework.
He spent like 10 minutes on this morning. He's on the Cal Poly website. Wait a minute. Well, what happens if she's liberal arts? No. What do you think her major is?
Do you know what Madison Ventura
loving it.
Majors in?
I don't.
So we'll get this, and it's a valid, I guess, discussion point.
Mm-hmm.
The Sox are going to be in Florida. The daughter graduates in California.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you there's no easy way to get to both, right? You know, it's a long flight.
But if you make, how much does he make?
$2.5-3 million.
Okay, and
$2 million?
Made a fortune in his life.
He's made a lot of money. Money is not an object, I would think, here.
Can't you charter?
Okay,
NetJets?
So let's say, for the sake of argument, she graduates Saturday afternoon. Then they play Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
You want him to fly cross country overnight?
Yeah.
Like the president on Air Force One?
Don't you think?
Sleep on the plane?
If your agent called NetJets and said, we got a great deal
for you
here.
What's NetJets?
NetJets is where.
I'm sorry, I don't live in that world.
I've never flown
it. NetJets.com?
NetJets. Like a lot of golfers are sponsored by NetJets.
Okay.
So you buy like shares of. It's good for hours on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a timeshare on a plane. So
that's pretty cool, I guess.
I don't know what it costs. I would imagine it's reasonably expensive. I'm guessing. I'll look it up. You know, I remember we talked about this once years ago. I want to say it's like $10,000 is what it would cost to do that. Maybe 15. He makes millions. So you call up NetJets. You go, we got a great thing for you. Great advertising idea. We'll pay. You tell us what you want. We'll pay for the flight. Give us a good deal on it. And you can promote the fact that we got White Sox manager Robin Ventura. He was able to be at 2 of the 3 games and attend his daughter's graduation.
What if you told your daughter that you were going to be there for her all weekend?
Then I guess you got to do what you got to do. I just...
You cringe. You're cringing. You're like, yeah, okay. If you're that,
I just know what
if
my,
you're that guy,
what my wife would.
I wouldn't.
What my wife would say to me.
Okay.
Be at the ceremony.
Yeah.
Manage your team the rest of the weekend. That's what my wife would say to me. Now I'm not telling him what he should do.
Logistics make it very difficult to be there. Okay, if you want to argue that he could be there for. If the graduation is Sunday, he could be there for Friday's game. If you want to argue that if the graduation were Saturday, he can be there for Sunday's game. I'm with you there. We're talking about one game here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a big issue with him taking the time off to attend
his
graduation.
Oh, he should.
Right. And I think that is
just
logistically
like 3 games, really?
A 2-game commitment because you're going to be out of pocket for 2 days traveling.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not feasible to crisscross the country talking about Florida to California without missing 2 games. You're not going to be mentally sharp for that second game if you do get there anyway. Now, if you want to make an issue about the third game that he misses, That's valid. I would think that he probably thinks it's one of 162. But when he does things like that, when he makes that decision, which I think is defensible,
mm-hmm.
he will get his critics to rise up and to say, you know what, Robin Ventura just doesn't show us all the time that he loves this job.
Dadgummit.
Yeah, again,
that is going to be the thing, right?
I don't know that I believe that. I don't either.
I've heard that this morning already, though.
But there will be people that will say it. I think he should be at the graduation. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Yeah.
Just I was like, whoa, three games? Wow. It's a long graduation.
Three games? I'm going to that website. I'm going to get that website. I'm going to find out what time she graduates.
9 a.m. Sunday morning if she's a liberal arts grad.
I'm kind of encouraged that you don't know that what she majored in college.
How would I know?
Well, you know what time the graduation is.
Well, that's online. It doesn't have his daughter on there.
If you look hard enough online, is my point, you could probably find out.
I didn't look at
that. You could probably find out what people are majoring in at college. What's that?
That's from the Silence of the Lambs.
Oh,
that's bizarre music.
I didn't recognize that. Is that like universally? Am I?
Put the lotion in the basket. Okay. By the way, speaking of the Chicago White Sox, really great article in this morning's USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
Today. The USA Today today. Chris Sale, all about Chris Sale and how he worshipped Randy Johnson growing up and wanted to be Randy Johnson. That's why he wears the number that he wears, because Randy used to wear that number before he went to 51. Yeah. And then how much he wants to meet him. He's never met him. And they reach Randy Johnson. Bob Nightingale talks to him, and he says, hopefully he can appreciate what he's doing, Johnson said, and understands just how special this is. If he stays mentally and physically prepared, I think you're going to see a lot of special things out of him. I look forward to watching him. Tell him that one day I'd like to meet him too. He's light years ahead of me at that time.
I can't believe they've never met.
How about that?
It's the second time you've mentioned something in USA Today. You got a new paper out or something?
No, I read it every day. Okay. I love USA Today.
No, pushing the paper a lot. Randy Johnson and Chris Sale have never met. And light years ahead. Light years?
Randy Johnson was like a hard-throwing, wild lefty, and then he finally, late in his career in Seattle, became really good, then went to Houston, really good. And then Arizona, he was money. He was a great pitcher.
Oh, no question about that. Chris Sale is similar mold, similar stuff. The mechanics, who would you say has more violent and awkward mechanics?
Chris Sale.
Yeah. So do you think that he could have the type of longevity that Randy Johnson had? You know, despite
a great question.
That's going to be the thing that probably, you know, answers the question: can he be as good as Randy Johnson? It's all about the longevity and staying healthy.
Good question. Hey, for weeks you've been hearing me talk about MyPillow. Have you taken my advice and ordered yourself a MyPillow yet? MyPillow, the guaranteed most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Try it. Absolutely no risk to you. Sleep on it for 60 nights. If you don't love it as much as I do, no problem. Return it. You get 100% of your purchase price back. That's what they'll do for you. How about that? A refund of 100% of your purchase price if you don't like it. That's how confident MyPillow is in their product. The official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. MyPillow even has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity is coming. You need a pillow that keeps your head cool and comfortable. Test one out. See why they've sold over 5 million. Act this week. MyPillow will give you 50% off all products using the promo code CAP, K-A-P. Log on. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code CAP or 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com. Promo code K-A-P for 50% off. We'll be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Welcome back, Cap'n Haw.
Trying to cheer you up. I guess they're trying to cheer you up with the music choice.
I don't even know what this is.
See? All the show's about making Cap happy because Eddie picked on him.
What is this?
Poor Cappy. Got picked on by Big Bad Eddie.
You went to this concert. I thought you were the huge Maroon 5 guy.
Oh, didn't know that was Maroon 5. Yeah, I love the
you
concert.
Said one of your favorite songs was Sugar.
That was one of your favorite songs.
And I specifically played that
You
told me after the show one day, you got to get that Sugar song.
I thought that was intended to try to cheer you up because you're so crestfallen after getting picked on.
I am not crestfallen. Tell Edzo to bring his A game.
Poor
money.
Eddie picked on Cappy.
312-235.
You get a lot of love.
25-25.
On the text line, though, people really are feeling sorry for you.
Why?
Because that big boy Eddie picked on Cappy.
Eddie fires on me all the time. I'm cool with it.
Cappy was getting picked on.
You're a goof. Larry and Joliet. Sir Lawrence, what's going on here, buddy?
Hey, Larry.
Oh, not too much. Just wanted to let you know that I don't think you were picking on Eddie at all. I think that he needs to kind of maybe get a little thicker skin because the nature of your activity is to not always agree. It's not mutual admiration. It'd be a pretty boring show if everybody got along all the time. Just a quick comment on one reason the Cutlers should love Chicago, and that's that an average quarterback is getting paid way above average salary for the performance
no
that
question.
He's given. Okay? One last thought. I've watched hockey since about 50 years now, since I was a teenager. And I've noticed that the Hawks this year have a very unusual style of play for a Stanley Cup team. It seems like they're more wide open, almost reckless at times. And I was wondering how you felt about that, where Tampa Bay is a more structured, more puck-to-stick type of team. And I was wondering if you agree with that and if that's a reason why some of the teams have difficulty defending against the Hawks, because you really never know what they're up to.
I don't agree with that, Larry. I think that your observation about the Lightning is accurate. I think they're playing right as well as they can at the right time. They're peaking at the right time. But I think the Hawks are playing very similar to the way they've played in previous years, and that has been good enough to be in five conference championships in the last seven seasons, win two cups. I don't see a big departure in style from past seasons. Do you, Cap?
I don't think it's a departure. I don't.
Thanks for the phone call, Larry.
Yeah, Larry, appreciate it, buddy. And by the way, he did not pick on me, Edzo. It's like I'm looking at Twitter. It's like everybody, Cap, Eddie was picking on. No, he wasn't. We battle all the time. Okay?
Okay.
I'm good.
All right, that's good. You can't deny that it was a little... There was some hostility there exchanged between the two of you.
He was mad at me, I guess, because I brought up Keith Jones.
But you were, you know.
I did not poke the bear. No chance. In what way did I poke him?
Oh, come on. You know the buttons to push, and I'm similar to that way sometimes, too. Oh, you know what I read from so-and-so, and, oh, Keith Jones told me this, and Burnside told me that, you know.
I don't bring up Scott Burnside anymore because Edzo doesn't like that.
Well, we have Eddie Olczyk here. Here's his point. Here's why I'm on Team Eddie today. Okay?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You got Eddie on. He's gracious enough to come on
He's
with
the best.
Us after every playoff game. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much value that adds to our show?
Huge.
He is as respective of a voice in hockey as there is. So,
he's the lead analyst.
So he's got this time that he's allotted for Cap and Hall. We're lucky to have him.
Mm-hmm.
His opinion matters.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the phone with you. And the first thing you say, first thing he's paying attention to maybe, is that Analyst X thinks this. What do you think of
this?
That
was not the first thing because I asked him about Saad first.
Second thing. Analyst X thinks this. What do you think of this? You know what? I don't really care what Analyst X thinks. I want to know if that's your opinion and you're asking Eddie O and I'm Eddie, fine. I will have that debate with you. But if you're forming your opinion on Analyst X's point of view, then I think that you don't need me.
But
so move on.
But what I asked him.
I get it, Team Eddie.
Oh, boy. Team Eddie. Wow. What I was trying, my point in the question was, I thought Keith Jones was a little over the top with it's insane. Or Mike Milbury saying Corey's going to go to hell for that goal. I just found, wow, Maybe I'm nuts. I got that they were a little out there with the changes. Insane?
All right.
That's why I asked the question. I will never, ever reference another analyst, coach, player.
Don't say that.
Again.
You will too.
Not with Edzo.
I have to stop laughing.
Not with Edzo.
Okay. Yes, you will.
No, I will not. Trust me, I will not.
Then you know what? One day I will, just for kicks. Just to see if he will yell at you again.
Eddie, Keith Jones said this. Yeah. I will never, ever do that again as long as I'm friendly with Edzo. Rest of my life. Never.
You don't. You make these absolute comments. You can't possibly stick to that. Like, you were just as definitive when you were saying how much you liked Maroon 5's song, Sugar. Then you forgot about it. A month later.
I was distracted. I've got 5,000 tweets here.
I'm sorry. I thought I brought you off your game. I didn't mean to bring that up again. It was just fun. What's this? Apology song.
Who is this?
Maroon 5.
Yeah, funny guy.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, that was fun, though. Anyway, I'm glad everyone
was entertained by Edzo just pummeling me in the corner.
He made some really good points today.
He always does.
Ryan Campbell and Eddie Olczyk, they have their hockey knowledge.
Hockey street cred.
They bring it.
No, I don't even remember where I was now. 312-235-2525.
We're talking about the Cutlers?
Yes. Do you know who Jay Cutler, the bodybuilder, is?
Yeah.
Do you know that he said that he would find people thought that he was the quarterback and that the animosity on Mondays was a little tough to deal
really?
With?
Really?
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that guy that was it in Nashville, the sportscaster who named Chris Conte?
Yes.
Who got all upset over being
he got all the calls.
Heckled?
Yes.
You know what? It never even dawned on me when I was down in Tampa. They had their last OTA last week. Chris Conte would have been down there. Ah, could have checked in with good old number 47.
We had him on.
Yeah. Oh, he was
always been good with us.
Pretty stand-up guy. Yeah, interesting.
I almost walked down and found Matt Forte last night. Almost did it.
I'm glad you didn't. That wouldn't have gone well.
Why?
I just don't think it would have gone well.
You mean if I walked up to him and said, Matt, David Kaplan, dude, you know, we had our little episode there. Can we move past that? Why don't you come on the show with us?
So you had, that was draft day, right?
That was around
NFL
the draft.
NFL draft, yeah. You had a little tete-a-tete on TV.
Correct.
With Matt Forte. And a month later, he challenged you. He said, you know, what are you? Are you a journalist? Are you this?
You've never said anything nice about him.
So you would go up to him at a Hawks game in a social setting and mm-hmm. say, would you come on our show?
Say, Matt, I never meant any disrespect to you. I think you're a hell of a running back, man.
It was
simply the piccolo luncheon that I was criticizing. Yeah,
you're an engaging guy. You don't know many strangers. I like when we're out there and you people come up to you. We talk to them. That's great because people typically you're genuinely sincere mm-hmm. to people. But that would not go well.
What do you think he'd say?
I don't think he would acknowledge you. I don't think he would shake your hand. And I think that he would just be like, well, I'll think about it. He would say whatever necessary to make you go away. That's my sense of Matt Forte's reaction to you if you would have approached him. I just don't think it would have gone well. You would have come out of it feeling like, well, I was right about Matt Forte.
I'm going to get him booked on the show.
Okay.
You think I can pull that off?
Let me ask you this. What purpose would it serve?
Talk football.
You think he's going to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, look, if we can have Matt Forte on the show, be a good guest.
Yeah, you don't think I can get him?
See, you're looking bad up today. See, I'm see what Team Eddie's seeing.
Oh, my God.
You're like, I'm not challenging you to get Matt Forte. If you want to get him for our show, get him for our show. He would be a good guest. But the question was, what would have happened had you gone to him at the Hawks game last night? I don't think that he would have been that receptive.
I'm thinking that's
Kyle Long, different story.
More laid-back setting than showing up at OTAs and waiting.
I think that if you'd have seen him last night at the Hawks game, he'd have been like, okay, I'm going to go look the other way and see. You know, I don't think professional athletes, my experience, don't tend to like seeing media members in settings outside of their work environment. Would you agree?
Not
in
always.
In most cases. Well, maybe our experiences are different. Not a lot of guys like seeing a columnist hanging around and saying, hey, what's up? You know, that's okay with me. That's fine with me. If I saw Matt Forte at a Hawks game and I was there as a fan, there's no way I would even cross my mind to go up to him and want to book him for a show.
If you'd had a run-in with him,
no.
You wouldn't go up and say, dude, let's clear the air.
If you were passing in the hallway, in the corridor, I wouldn't go from my seat to his seat to say, let's clear the air. Because then you're apologizing to him?
No.
Was it all your responsibility?
No, because I still think I'm right.
Okay.
But let's move past that. Unblock me from the Twitter feed.
Everything goes back to Twitter.
If you live in Illinois, you might have property to claim. The Illinois Treasurer is safeguarding more than $2 billion in recovered cash for state residents, and it needs to be returned. The Illinois Treasurer's iCash program makes it easy to discover and claim what's yours. Just visit illinoistreasurer.gov, click on the iCash link, and search your name. One out of every four Illinois adults discovers property to claim when they search at illinoistreasurer.gov. So search today, visit illinoistreasurer.gov, and start your claim. We'll be right back.
X, read all about it.
We're desperate for stories, and this one is so compelling.
This is Page Two.
All right, Page Two, final home stretch here. Cap and Haw.
Lively one.
And then I'll go see my cut man after I got pummeled.
Oh, I'm sorry, poor Cappy.
You denigrated me yesterday when I said this closer for the Cubs is not currently on their team or in their organization.
Denigrate's way too strong.
Eviscerated?
No. I would think that I was dubious.
You poo-pooed it.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good one.
Phillies have engaged in recent trade discussions with the Chicago Cubs and the Blue Jays on Jonathan Papelbon, according to Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports. This from Rosenthal's Facebook account. The Philadelphia Phillies are ready to trade closer Jonathan Papelbon. They are willing to pay a significant portion of his contract. The only question is how the story ends. Phillies have engaged in recent trade discussions with both the Blue Jays and the Cubs about Papelbon, according to Major League sources. No deal with either club appears close. Talks are at an impasse, one source said. Papelbon making $8 million this season, about to trigger a $13 million option for the 2016 season. Rosenthal says the Phillies are open to paying a large chunk of that if it will net them better prospects. Papelbon has continued to dominate despite a dip in velocity, boasting a 1.13 ERA, a 0.917 whip, and 29-6 strikeout-to-walk ratio in 24 innings this season. 24-year-old has tallied 12 saves in 12 attempts for a 22-39 Phillies team.
Okay, so how do you feel about that from a, number one, a baseball perspective,
mm-hmm.
and his stuff, and do you think it's going to sustain that sort of consistency? And number two, let's not overlook the fact that this Cub team has been very good in terms of the chemistry, the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
the vibe, which are important to Joe Maddon. How does bringing in a guy with his past and his reputation affect that if it does?
Well, Theo and Jed brought him into Boston, so they obviously know him. If they sign off on it, then they would feel, I guess, that he's okay in that clubhouse.
How do you how do you reconcile bringing in Papelbon and signing Soriano and giving him $4 million? I know it's just prorated, but it's still a $4 million contract, and we define expectations based on what a guy makes. So you're expecting a lot out of Soriano in that position, in that role. So you bring in Papelbon, and all of a sudden you have one closer who said, well, you brought me here for what? You got Papelbon, who's not going to be a guy who's happy with anything but closing. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe Soriano knows he's coming in if they get another guy as a setup guy.
Okay. Well, I just think that there are questions to answer. Who are you giving up? How much are you giving up for a Papelbon?
I mean, I would think you'd have to give up a fairly decent prospect.
But you're all in on this. You think it would be a good direction.
I want Aroldis Chapman, but I think the price is going to be so exorbitant that there's no way they're going to do that with the Reds in the division.
At Wrigley Field. The bleachers are open at Wrigley Field tonight.
Yeah, Holly and I have Cubs Post tonight.
Oh, see, nice little segue. Nice little cross promotion. Did you see this hockey news? The Red Wings made it official this week. Jeff Blashill, who he was a coach at Western Michigan, mm-hmm. which is interesting. So a few years ago he was a college coach. Now he's leading the Red Wings. The Flyers dipped into the college ranks to hire their new coach as well. But what I found interesting about the Red Wings development is that, did you see who's going to be potentially on the staff, according to TSN? Chelly. Chris Chelios.
How about that?
Is rumored or reported to be joining the Red Wings staff as an assistant coach. He's currently a member of the front office
with
the Red Wings. And a guy who, there's a difference, though, in being in the front office and the
being
grind.
Being on the ice every day.
That's a grind. The travel, the commitment, the just the time, hour. There's a lot of hidden hours that you lose. And you wonder how a guy, that's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a demanding thing for a guy who's never coached before that we know of. He's not coached before, has he?
No, I don't believe Chelly's ever coached.
But maybe he misses the grind. Maybe he misses the travel. I don't know that I would after his long career.
He played till like 45 years old.
I know. But Chelly, back on the back behind the glass, it looks like, for the Red Wings. And good luck to him.
Bryce Harper told the MLB Network about doing his hair before a game. Seriously, it takes me about 30 minutes to do my hair before we play a game. Jason Wirth takes a little bit of time, too. He's got his Murray's pomade for his hair, so he throws his Murray's in there and lets it eat a little bit. As a team, I think we're a pretty good-looking team. 30 minutes to get his hair ready.
That's sad.
Really?
That's sad.
Shave it, bro.
What about his beard? How long does that take to manicure?
Boy. Wow.
You don't have that problem, I'm guessing.
No problem.
30 minutes. That's a long time. For anybody, I don't know. What can he do to his hair for 30 minutes?
No idea.
That's a clown question, bro.
That is a clown question, bro.
I don't think, well, you know, it might have taken Chris Bryant 30 minutes to get that funky haircut he got.
Yeah, what is that?
What is that?
Rat tail thing he's
Somebody
got.
Needs to ask him. When you're at Wrigley next
Chris,
time.
As I let you go, last question. What is that goofy rat tail thing you got?
He might
your
take
head?
That okay. Bryce Harper doesn't seem like he'd be a guy that have that kind of sense of humor. Chris Bryant, more good natured.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah. I think that you could ask him that one day. Maybe we should have him on the show one day.
That's a clown question, bro.
Maybe you could get on that right after you book Matt Forte. So, did you see this? Back to the NFL. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Brandon Marshall is. How does this happen, Cap? He fell upward.
He did.
I mean, he had the kind of season he had. And he was a guy that, you know, had to go in Chicago because he was disruptive. He was this, he was that.
And he ends up being the number one guy in New York, and they just gave him new paper.
New contract. He got a raise. He's commanding all this attention in, you know, the NFL's largest market. Yesterday, this was cute.
Isn't he living with Eric Decker? No, he's living with Geno Smith.
With Geno Smith.
Yeah.
But of Eric Decker, former Bronco, he calls him Alshon Jeffrey. And Decker, who used to play with the Broncos, calls Marshall Demaryius Thomas. Mm-hmm. So they have this little thing for their ex-wide receiver tandem.
Bromance.
Yes, a bromance. And yesterday, I felt a little bit, a sense of deja vu watching the New York media congregate around Brandon Marshall, laugh at all the jokes, be fascinated by all the stories, and project all this greatness and happy times ahead. And I said, but you know what? I fell for that once.
Yeah, let me know how that works out for you.
All right.
It's whack, bro.
But thank you for that, Brandon. Thank you for the segment.
Astros keeping it in the family. In the 34th round of the MLB draft, they chose Connor Biggio, Notre Dame outfielder and son of Craig Biggio. Then in the 35th round, they drafted prep shortstop Cody Clemens, a University of Texas commit, and the son of Roger Clemens. While in the 19th round, the Angels picked Gannon University pitcher infielder Aaron Cox, who happens to be the brother of Mike Trout's girlfriend.
Oh, really?
How about that?
And don't forget the White Sox.
Who'd they take?
They kept it in the family. Joseph Reinsdorf.
Oh, Jerry's grandson.
Yes, Jerry's grandson. I think they took him in the
37th round.
And I think there was some kidding about who his agent might be. I think Scott Boris.
That'd be hilarious. Hey, Grandpa, I've signed with the Boris Corporation. Talk to them about my deal.
Trying to see what round it was in. Where's that White Sox? No, here it is. Joseph Reinsdorf from New Trier, 39th round. And also in the final two picks, Simeon's Jalen McMillan, who is from his cousin is Anthony Davis.
How about that?
A little local connection. Thank you for that note.
And don't forget, go to WGNplus.com or go to iTunes, sign up for our podcast, and Matt will tweet that out later. I'll retweet it. David retweets it. You can get it and hear the show. Hear Ed Zoll pick on me. And we will be back tomorrow with Rick Hahn, Ian Happ, the Cubs' number one pick.
A lot of baseball tomorrow.
White Sox number one pick as well, Carson Fulmer.
Yep.
So all of that coming up tomorrow.
Chris on Twitter says you need a couple hours with my pillows to restart your day.
I do. I need a nap. We're out of here. Have a wonderful
Have a good one.
Day. We'll see you.
See you tomorrow.